Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
With InsightsRadio.com, with your hosts, Iggy Garcia and Rosa Bell. Tonight's guest is Chief Cloudfiler Lance of the Nementhop Band. Tonight, we'll be talking about different topics of Nementhop and the way Nementhop changed the world. Here are your hosts, Dan Brooks. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Iggy. Hello. And our guest, Cloudfiler.
Hello.
Welcome
hello, Cloudfiler.
To With Insights Radio.
Thank you.
Well, we're glad you could make it today. I know it was kind of a short notice. We had one of our guests who was going to be on the show tonight kind of got the flu bug. So we're really thankful and very grateful that you could step in and share with us your insights with us.
Well, I'm honored.
Thank you. So how would you like to start today, Rosa? Any questions that you would like to ask Cloudfiler to get going here?
Actually, if he doesn't mind, I know a little bit about him because I've actually met him in person. And when he came to Columbus and to introduce people at the Journeys Way, Journeys of Wisdom, about the Nementhop and the organization. So I know a little bit about it. If Cloudfiler could just tell us a little bit about himself, we can go into as much or little detail as possible, and just let us know your background and how you got involved with the Nementhop and what your role is within that, because I understand you are the elected principal medicine chief of the Nementhop Band. So I think we've got a lot of juicy or just interesting conversation to be had tonight, and that's really my hopes, is just to share the information that to all the people that may not be familiar with who you are and so forth, if that's okay.
That's okay.
Great.
Well, first of all, I'm kind of a how do I put this? I did not grow up on a reservation. I didn't grow up in the Native American way of life as many of the tribes know it today. I grew up in a completely white society. My mother is not tribal. My father is a quarter Nez Perce. And my context throughout most of my life has been non-Native. We had some situations that came up when I had become a naturopath and got involved in natural healing, got myself sideways of the law, got to go to jail, and in jail, that's when the Native American aspect of my life kind of blossomed. The judge in the case kind of moved some things around so that I ended up being in charge of the Native American church in the facility that I took my four-month vacation in, and that's where it all started. When I came out, I was recognized by the state of Idaho and by local bands and tribes as a medicine man, and that coupled with my dedication to natural healing led to my election by the First Council of Mothers of the Nementhop Band and the Native American Traditional Organization. Since then, the organization has grown a little bit, not a lot. We're still quite a little groundswell that's turning into a tsunami, they tell me, but we have been recognized and officially approved as a branch of the original Native American Church, which was formed by Act of Congress way back in the first part of the 20th century, and that has opened up a lot of understanding for me in terms of natural healing, and it is my great honor to who have been reelected every year since 2002 as the elected principal medicine chief of the band. The medicine chief has the responsibility to train and teach the medicine men and medicine women of the band. And we have, since 1995, which was before the band was formed, but since the All Nations powwow in 95, many of the tribes opened up the teaching of all the sacred healing ways to all people of good intention. It was a landmark decision, was not a unanimous decision, but I happened to be in Hamilton, Montana when that happened. That was the year of the white buffalo. And a little over a majority of the medicine people involved cast their vote to open up the healing ways to everyone of good intention. And that is part of what led the way to the forming of the Namenha Band. Under the law, under acts of Congress, specifically NAFERA, which is the Native American Free Exercise of Religion Act, and the what's known as AIRFA, which are the American Indian Religious Freedom Amendments to that act, a traditional organization or Native American church has very significant protections to its doctrines and its practices. And the Supreme Court of the United States and Federal Court of New Mexico, the Supreme Court, the state of Utah, and other agencies and courts have laid down a preliminary definition of what it means to be a medicine man or medicine woman and have protected us. And one thing that's been recognized that made all the difference in the world for me as a naturopathic doctor was that there is no distinction between natural healing and religion to the Native American church. And that was quite an eye-opener. It's very revelatory. Because I'd been engaged in worrying, spending a lot of psychic energy, worry, and stress over what was going on. I had served for a couple of years as the president of the Utah Naturopathic Medical Association. And as I saw what was going on among the naturopaths, the two different camps of naturopaths, and the great battle that was going on, how we were defeating ourselves, it really disturbed me. And I really, at that time, did not in my heart believe that there was a way out. But the Native American church, recognizing that healing, natural healing, is a principle, integral part of the Native American religion, when they officially approved and recognized and adopted the Namenha Band as the Aklava Native American Church of San Pete, that opened up new vistas. And we're finding that we do not have the same issues before us as other naturopaths and other healers, because we have a special relationship that the federal government is responsible for, which protects our belief systems and makes them sacraments. And the courts are complying. The courts are agreeing. The courts have no right to have an opinion about Native American religion. And that's the exciting part. That's what opens up all the doors. And I think that's what Iggy and I got to talking about that kind of elicited him to invite me on the show tonight, was there are a lot of agencies out there that communicate. Yeah, they communicate through email mainly now. And, it seems like we are back to the drawing board with these agencies involved in health freedom. It's as if we're back to the table trying to decide what the points of our agenda should be. But, health freedom has been a battle for some of us for 25 to 30 years. We should not be at the table trying to come up with agenda right now. We should have a set plan and policy. And I think that's the downfall of health freedom movement right now, is that we're all in committee. We're all out there divided, and we are talking about what we ought to be talking about in the important months and years to come. Whereas when you finally come to the realization that laws exist in this nation that give us complete and protective health freedom, should we have the knowledge and the guts to properly apply the laws that we already have, then it relieves a great deal of stress. That's kind of what my calling and my stewardship in the band has boiled down to, is to try and get that message out to our ministers, to the natural healers, the medicine men and medicine women of the Namenha, that there is a framework and a safety net that we're allowed to work in that liberates us. It allows us to step out of this sandbox, out of this ballpark here that's full of turmoil and full of stress and full of conflict, mm-hmm. with high stakes and a lot of people and a lot of money involved. It allows us to step out, walk over into our own playing field where none of those issues apply, and they're not allowed to apply.
What, when you say those stakes, I mean, for our listeners, I mean, I myself, and Rosa, we're all Namenha here, so we kind of understand. But for our listeners, you know, can you stress and can give a little example what those stakes are that we're at, the things that we are looking at?
As a naturopath, if I were not a medicine man, now bear in mind, medicine man, medicine woman is a title that is religion-based. It's not doctrine-based. You as well as I know that our band does not dictate religious belief or personal belief systems, but nevertheless, we are ministers of a Native American church that's governed under treaty and the body of Indian law, and, you know, we're a little bit different. We are ministers, and natural healing is part of our ministry, but as a naturopath, because that's, I've got the minister on the right shoulder and the graduated and diploma naturopath on the left shoulder. As a naturopath, I look out there and I see horrible times ahead, because I have, I have inside knowledge of what the FDA is about to cause to take place. But even if I didn't have inside knowledge, you know, you can go on the FDA's website and just read their own publications and get a really good idea of what's going on. The stakes are very, very high. There's a lot of money in natural healing, and the big agencies that pretty much govern and, you know, and own medicine are, they're just like any other large corporation or industry. They want their market share. They want their piece of this action. And as long as we continue to think in terms of corporate market share and competition and that sort of paradigm, then we're going to just be playing the status quo game. And the status quo game right now is being lost by natural healers. I'll give you a good example, Iggy. As I said, I was the president of the Utah Naturopathic Medical Association, and for 2 years. This is an elected position. It's kind of a puppet position because in Utah they passed a licensure law, and you had to graduate from certain schools or you couldn't be a naturopath. And I didn't graduate from any of the certain schools, and so although I was the president of the association, I couldn't even get a license in the state of Utah. Excuse me. But what I discovered during that time, working with other political activists, was that the FDA way back then had already begun to reclassify under CAFTA, things that we used to simply take advantage or take for granted that we're always going to be there. For example, essential oils. Essential oils have pretty much always been classified as under that acronym, generally regarded as safe. However, when the FDA was given authority by Deshaies to be the classifying agency, they immediately began to make new classifications so that essential oils very quietly, very discreetly became new over-the-counter drug. That is what's going on now with all of natural healing, incrementally. We're going to lose it through classification in preparation for the acceptance or the implementation of Codex in this country. we'll see the same labels out there as we have always seen. You'll be able to go down to your health food store and buy the same products. But when you read that label, what I foresee, and these are the highest stakes for those of us who are interested in relieving suffering, when you read that label, you're going to find a fraction of the therapeutic dose that we used to be able to get. That's a big issue. Also, the FDA has orchestrated the very workable program through the state's attorney generals, through the state courts, for the removal of naturopathic doctors, homeopaths, herbalists, through licensure law. So very many of us out here who have stepped back and are taking the long look are seeing the absolute demise of what we used to call holistic medicine. And a lot of us don't want to see that. The stakes are very high. A lot of us are dedicated to the old-fashioned style of natural medicine, drugless medicine, procedureless medicine. But that will go by the wayside. Judge Zavania, who's our chief of law, and he was the keynote speaker in this last year's conference down in Nevada for the American Medical Association, gave a speech, and in it he reiterated a speech he'd been given for the past 3 or 4 years, wherein he predicted the demise or the disappearance of naturopathic medicine as we know it within 15 years. That's pretty alarming for people who have put the money into learning the material and have made this a career decision, basing the rest of their lives on being able to relieve the suffering naturally. That's a very large stake.
Question. I run into people constantly here in Columbus, Ohio. That's where we're based from. They don't seem to understand the severity of, you know, Codex and CAFTA and all these different things that have been passed underneath us. And, you know, sometimes it seems like it's kind of a struggle trying to explain and tell people, you know, hey, this is what's going on. And, you know, it's almost like you're almost making, they look at you like you're fabricating and making this stuff up.
Well, that's what it sounds like, because it's, you know, when you tell the story as it really is, it sounds like our own government making war on its citizens. Mm-hmm. It's too much to be believed. But in a very real sense, you know, that is kind of what's going on. I've been following a case out there in Ohio of a food co-op that was raided, and all the food was taken away, and arrests were made, and that was a matter of food storage in Ohio. Huh. You know, that was based on regulations that find their foundation in CAFTA, in Codex, Patriot Act. They're all tied together. You know, they were accused of breaking the hoarding law that hasn't been enforced in Ohio for how long? Forever. So it got my attention when I look at the state of Missouri where I live, and I look up the hoarding law from the Second World War, which is still on the books. I discovered that I'm not allowed to keep any more than 2 weeks' food and water in my home, or I am committing a felony crime. And that's governed by Codex. It's governed by CAFTA. Well, it's not necessarily governed by CAFTA. I have to qualify that. CAFTA identifies the USDA and FDA as the two agencies that are in charge of setting up Codex councils in the United States. So they set the mandate for Codex in the United States.
That's sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, you know, unless you really love FDA and the USDA and the crazy things that they're doing, if you're like me and you stand back and you read their website and get chills, you know, that doesn't give me a real rosy feeling that CAFTA is the document or the treaty that makes them in charge of whether we end up with Codex or not, or what Codex means to us. I mean, in Ohio, when was the last time you ever heard anybody asking your opinion about how Codex ought to be applied in the United States? Have you heard anything in Ohio about that? Have you ever been invited?
No, I would have to say no. How about you, Rosa?
No, definitely not.
How do you get into a Codex council? Does anybody know?
Right.
I have no clue.
No clue, because it's the FDA who chooses. That's crazy.
Well, as it is, it almost sounds as if the government really doesn't want us to get well.
Well, that may be a little ungenerous. They don't want us to be in control of this market share. That's for sure, because the government considers us the masses, and everybody knows that the masses are asses and can't decide things for themselves. We couldn't possibly govern that big a market share, being as stupid as we really are. That's the feeling in government as I see it.
So we're cattle.
Yeah, well, we're chattel anyway. You know, we're owned baggage. We're sitting on a siding, you know. We're owned by the government.
Wow.
I definitely have my opinions about healing, natural healing, your body's natural ability to heal. Because I do energy work called the Lifeline Technique, and my studies have proven that, and countless of testimonials and thousands of people have been able to engage their body back into its own ability to heal. So as far as the, the government regulating, what the regulation needs to be, like you said, is in the hands of the, it doesn't need to be regulated, it needs to be more in control of the people. But like you said, you know, if we, stand by and just let things happen, you know, how does one participate? How can one be more in control of their future if they want to continue to be, in the realm of the healing arts, the naturopaths and so forth? You know, what recommendations do you have?
Well, my own analysis brings me down to one very hard recommendation, and that is, it stems from the observation that we natural healers in our, how shall I put this without seeming ungenerous myself, we have wanted credibility so badly. We have craved this credibility so badly that we have and needed it, that we have adopted a corporate attitude. And corporate is all commerce. Now, in the old days, back in the old days, the healers were ministers. They were ministers of the healing arts. But when the corporate culture took over, we turned ourselves over almost by contract, almost by agreement, into the hands of the government who governs all commerce. And the recommendation I have is, while we still have a chance, let us bring the sacred back into healing, because there's one aspect that judges all over the country have reminded us. It doesn't matter, who drags you into court. If the proceeding boils down to the court having to decide about somebody's religion, they can't. They're not allowed to have an opinion about it. There's a case in point out here that I love to use in it's not out here in Missouri, it's in California, where a woman and her 17-year-old son, who were members of our band, decided that instead of having surgery and chemotherapy and radiation for his cancer, they were going to seek an alternative, and they did. But while they were gone seeking the alternative, a judge issued warrants for their arrest. Her for medical child abuse and him as a juvenile delinquent. And when they came back into the country, they went down to Mexico. To make a long story very short, I don't know how much time we have, they came back in the country after his cancer was verifiably cured. He had independent oncologists who declared that he was asymptomatic for cancer. After that, they came back into the country with these declarations, and they were immediately arrested and put in jail. And after many, many months, finally, the judge, finally said, I'm going to rule on this, and I'm going to rule that he's got to have surgery. We're going to force him to have surgery. We're going to force him, against his will, it's by this time 17 and a half years old, to have radiation and chemotherapy. When they finally were able to get the evidence on the table before the judge that they were ministers of the Native American church, that very same day she dismissed the case. Here's the point. Here's where it boils down to. If it's commerce, then we all enter into contracts, and the government is in charge of those contracts, right? If you're engaged in any kind of commerce, you've got to have a license to do it, either a business license or a license to practice or this or that. We enter into contracts with government to manage and make stable our ability to do commerce. But if what we're doing is part of our religion, of what we think is a spiritual orientation, and especially if it is Native American, it flies right out the window when you get to court, because they're not allowed to have an opinion. If they file an opinion, it goes right straight to appeal, and it's not making it. They're being dismissed out of court, and that is the realization we must. There's my recommendation. We as natural healers must have the courage to bring this out of commerce again and back into ministry, back into what is sacred. If we do that, then there are some laws that already exist that supersede and negate. It's like blanking out Codex and CAFTA and the FDA's regulatory ability. It just is as if they don't exist.
Hold that thought for a second, because we have about a 30-second break here.
Oh, all right.
Come back with that thought. And
okay.
Give us a little time to recover, and you're going to tell us what that is, all right?
Okay.
We'll come back after this little break. Welcome back to WithInsightRadio.com with Iggy and Rosa. Tonight's guest is Philip Claude Pilar-Landis, elected principal, medicine chief of the Nemenha Band. He is our guest. Today we're covering a declaration of good faith and practice. For more information about the Nemenha, you can visit the Nemenha at www.nemenha.org. That's N-E-M-E-N-H-A-H.org. All right, we're all back.
We're back.
Yeah, we were talking about how to negate or just block out what's causing us natural healers so much disturbance, emotional, physical, and otherwise financial, with regard to Codex and CAFTA. It doesn't make these things go away. In fact, the world is going to have to face all of that. But as a medicine man or a medicine woman, we do not, because what we do in natural healing is bona fide ceremony and act of Congress, which is called NAFARA with the ERFA amendments, really protect our ability to both establish and practice Native American religion. Now, you have to bear in mind, this may not, it remains to be seen whether this will work for your, for lack of a better term, and I know this is derogatory, but for the white religions, for the standard, religions in the country. But the federal government has a special relationship responsibility to the Native American tribes within its boundaries. They are sovereign. They were given their sovereignty back. And so the Native American Free Exercise of Religion Act, which passed Congress, is now the law of the land and cannot be controverted by some other trade agreement or treaty or what the European Economic Community decides to do. It protects our ability to practice our religion in bona fide ceremony. So what that means and how that's played out in the Supreme Court, how it's been defined by precedent-setting cases, case law, is that those have been accused and drugged before the courts and put to jail have been vindicated. And now the courts are saying, whoa, I don't want anything to do with that, and they're dismissing. But not only the courts. Medicine men and medicine women are finding that other agencies of the federal government are backing down as well, such as the Bureau of Land Management, which is part of the Department of the Interior. They were going to withdraw the permitting for a group of Namenha members to do Sundance in Southern Oregon on some Bureau of Land Management land that's been used for 35 years for that purpose in the Siskiyou Wilderness. When we took it up and said, now, wait a minute, according to this law, you're not allowed to do that. Not only did they give us back the use of the 80 acres that we asked for, but they gave us 500 acres to stewardship for the BLM, renewable perpetually. It was almost like getting a reservation. The agencies are backing down because they know that they cannot assail Native American religion. And that's the invitation that we have made from the Namenha Band. Our interest is not to dictate your belief systems. Our interest is to allow you to practice natural medicine as part of your religion. And if you can make a couple of declarations of good intention that we ask you, then you qualify. One of them is, first, do no harm. If you can stand behind that, then you're on the right page. You're on the same page as us. The other is that you make a declaration that natural healing is part of your spiritual orientation. That also qualifies you. We call that a good intention. And then, to be part of the band and work together and create communities of healers is a declaration of intention. And if those are the things that you're after, if those are the things that you can stand up and declare, the band is inviting all people to join and become medicine men and medicine women of the Namenha. Now, what's interesting about this is the Supreme Court decided that this could not be restricted to members of tribes only. In other words, I'm a quarter Nez Perce, but I am not an enrolled member of the Nez Perce tribe. Even so, I am recognized not just in the United States anymore, but internationally recognized as the leader of a band, Native American traditional organization, and a medicine man. So it's an exciting time. And for people who can grasp the meaning of it, it allows us to get on with the business of healing and set the emotional, the burnout that's happening among the healers because of the fear that Codex is creating, is just remarkable. We can set that stress aside and get back to the business of relieving suffering.
Interesting.
And it's exciting to me. I don't know how you feel about it.
I totally agree with you. I mean, it is exciting. Sometimes I wish I had the words. Yeah. Wish I had the words to express how you come across so eloquent with the way you speak. And people kind of get it. And hopefully I'm learning.
Very precise. I would like to express my gratitude for all the work that goes into forming an organization that is not working on fear-based, like you talked about, the energy's focused in another direction, like you mentioned earlier, and because it's legitimate, quite frankly, it's real. It is a true safety net, if you will, or it's an opportunity for people to learn. Again, you know, you make a declaration that you are going to do no harm, that natural healing is sacred to you. You know, creating a community of healers. We do that through our sweat lodges. My brother puts those on, and in the Hemet tradition. And do no harm. I just like to express the gratitude that I feel I've felt for a while, although the work that's gone into this. So.
Well, you know, I have to be entirely honest with you and with your audience. It was a tough thing for us to even change our paradigm, having this placed before us by the judges in the cases. It was as if they're saying, here, we're giving this to you, but we have no idea how to define this. You're going to have to define this paradigm for us. And so we're giving it to you. It was a difficult thing for us to change our paradigm, too. As we started out, we were just as fear-based. And the way we got people to listen to us was to tell them about what's coming up with Codex. If that isn't fear-based, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're beginning to settle down with the idea, now wait a minute, Codex is irrelevant. CAFTA is irrelevant. In many ways, FDA becomes irrelevant because what we do is part of bona fide ceremony. And the Supreme Court has already stricken down the Attorney General of the United States because he could not establish that natural healing was not bona fide ceremony. If we are willing to do that, and that's the Nemenha program, is to teach natural healers how to incorporate bona fide ceremony, to make their healing activities ceremonial, that is accepted and bona fide by the band. If that's the case, then it becomes an Indian issue. And when that happens, it has to be referred to the appropriate venue, which is a federal court. The federal court is not like your district courts, your local courts. They have to seat a grand jury. Now, for Native American issues, for Indian issues, to seat a grand jury requires that it be a capital offense. This is never a capital offense. It's always something else. It's not rape. It's not murder. It's not mayhem. It's not terrorism. And so what happens is the venue must automatically change to the nearest appropriate Native American court. There is no judge in any Native American court in this country. He is going to sit there on the reservation with the tribal members in the audience and declare that Native American religion cannot be protected, that the government has the right to take away from them their religion. He'd see rioting in his courthouse. They just won't do it, you know.
And rightfully so.
Well, and rightfully so. But we get to set the agenda. We get to define the definitions. For example, traditional leader is one of the titles that's mentioned in the law. But the law does not really define what a traditional leader is. We are the ones who get to define that. Medicine man, it's not defined. Spiritual leader, not defined. They're mentioned in the law, but only the churches can say what they are and what they do. This Native American church says that a medicine man, the Nemenha medicine man, now we're not talking about a Lakota medicine man or a, you know, or Ojibwe, or Oneida, or what have you, Seminole, or Navajo, they have their own medicine way. But the Nemenha medicine way, in the Nemenha medicine way, the medicine man or medicine woman is a minister of healing. Because we make no distinction between the emergence that takes place in healing and the emergence that takes place in religion. It's all the same to us. That's where the judges have had to say, wow, I am not allowed to have a decision, to make a decision. In fact, the lady judge in California said it just exactly like that. She said, I am unable to decide in this case, and she had to dismiss it. She said, I disagree. But see, she's allowed personally to disagree, But she said, I cannot make a decision in the case. Wow. The ramifications are huge.
Mm-hmm.
For people who, like I say, have the guts, the determination, and the wisdom to realize what these judges have given us, what the Congress has given us, instead of wearing ourselves out in one committee after another. I'm reminded of something that's going on right now. I've gotten so many emails about getting on this one website to go in and vote for the most important issues that this, whoever these people are, think ought to be in front of President Obama the day he gets inaugurated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? That's we know what's on his desk. He's possibly looking at a major recession, even maybe worse. You know, there's war and there's economic collapse and there's, you know, what to do about General Motors. This is not going to get on his desk, mainly because it's inappropriate that it be there. We have two camps. One is FDA, and they have their job. They're going to bring in Codex. They've already said so. And then there is religion. Then there is Native American religion. And the two of them are not associated. It just depends on how you want to view yourself. Do you want to put the white coat on and the piece of paper on the wall and call yourself Dr. This or Dr. That? And is it a pride thing? Is it a money, a commerce thing? Or is it a stewardship? Is it a calling? Is it a ministry? For those for whom it's a ministry, there is there's an opportunity to do some great good. And I'm afraid for those who feel that it is commerce and their right as an educated person to be a scientist and on a par with the medical doctors, pay the fees, pay the tax, get the licenses, and be managed by your partners because you're contracting to be governed, and that's the way the corporate world works.
Right. Really, quite as simple as that, really.
Yeah, it's a hard paradigm shift to make.
But you know what? When I first heard you speak, it was, I don't know, maybe 4 years now.
It's been that long, hasn't it?
I think so.
Oof.
And, you know, I heard a little bit of the, you know, be careful, Codex, all this, a little bit of a fear, but I can see the motivation behind it. You had to get people kind of, you know, jolted a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to think about it some more. And now I just see the message is it seems to be more confident or more trusting or have a little more faith behind what, you know, the band has.
It was more theoretical. We had one decision back then when I met you, and it gave me courage to get out and start talking about it because I had the mandate from the Lakota, which is where we get our Native American church connection. We had the mandate to get out there and start teaching, but now we have a lot of case history. I mean, it is being borne out in court. The judges are agreeing; they have to agree with the Supreme Court. Realize that the case. That was such a decisive precedent in our favor was a unanimous decision, which is quite rare in the United States Supreme Court. The only judge that didn't vote because he wasn't there; he was ill. But everybody that was there voted unanimously to uphold the rights of bona fide ceremony. Now here's the dig: it's not a ticket to disregard the law. We are so satisfied with the law that we do not want it to be changed. We're living within the law for the first time in so long. You know, we're very, very satisfied with it. But we have people who think they can carry a card and that's good enough, and they don't engage in creating ceremony. They don't engage in the spiritual and the sacred aspects of healing. They have no protection whatsoever. So it is a paradigm shift. You have got to be able to make those good intention declarations or it won't work for you. The invitation is out there. You become a member and be bona fide and be documented. But if you're not willing to engage in ceremonial healing, it's not going to be any better for you than for me as a naturopath.
Mm-hmm.
Where should people go to find more information about the Nemenha?
Well, the best place is just to go to the seminary website. We just completed the new website. We've been struggling with a not a very good web presence product for quite a few years, and we had a member who was just, she is just incredibly talented. Lisa Black is just amazingly talented, and she restructured our seminary web presence. So do go to www.nemenha. That's nemenha.org, not com. That goes to a test site that we had up, and it's not what I'm talking about. It has some good information, but it was purely test. Go to the .org and just read. You know, the training for medicine men and medicine women is a free offering. Membership through the spiritual adoption requires an offering, and that's, we're offering-based. We're not commerce-based. But, you know, the materials that are there and the education, the core curriculum, is there free to the world for everyone. So if you want to learn about it, that would be the place to go. And then when you're satisfied, click on spiritual adoption and read about that. Get in touch with us.
Excellent. With the last 15 minutes that we have, what would be your message to the world, I mean, to the universe and to everyone who's listening to this show?
Oh, that's bigger than 15 minutes. you know, emergence is my big issue. We live, our life is a series of emergences. We go from portal to portal to portal. Emergence is change, and if there's no change, if there's stagnation, if there's status quo, if there's laissez-faire, you know, it's not happening. So my message is, no matter how you feel about it, no matter what your personal opinion is, you are, as a human being, as relations, going through emergence. Let's make that emergence the most valuable thing that it can be. Emergence is changing from one condition to another. And that's why it's so principally important to make the paradigm shift from away from the corporate ethic, away from the corporate paradigm, which seems to be collapsing anyway. It shouldn't be that difficult. We look around and the biggest corporations out there are crying for bailouts. So obviously something's not working there. Moving away from that is moving from a condition of illness into a condition of healing. If we can move from a condition of corporate control and contract into a condition of spiritual freedom, then we're going to see the light start to come on, and that's more my message than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're healers. You're both healers. You've been on site. You've been on task in the moment when the turnaround happens. How does that look and how does that feel to you? And you're talking about, you know, one sufferer sitting there before you, and you get to be there when the change happens, when the emergence happens from a condition of illness beginning into a condition of wellness. It's the most remarkable, it's the most amazing spiritual experience of your life. Just imagine expanding that to every aspect of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we need to get.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Very good message. Yes, in Chinese medicine, change is the essence of life. If you're not changing, you're really not living. So the message is, as far as changing and being able to embrace the change, and sometimes change can be uncomfortable at times. At the same time, don't run away from that. You know, have the courage to embrace that and learn and move through the change. So I think that's important to communicate that as well. This is very exciting times. Depending on what side of the table you're on, I guess if you feel like you have to choose sides, which it's exciting either way. As far as the new year, new administration, there's a lot of things that are going to be happening. And
that poor guy. Don't you feel bad for him? Though I wouldn't wish this on anybody. But a marvelous opportunity, an incredible opportunity. I am so glad that I lived to a time when I could see that issue be completely done away. You know, and we have an African-American American, you know, African-Irish American president. That issue is gone. Wonderful.
Yes.
Let's see emergence in so many other ways. I mean, to me, it's a marvelous time. Marvelous time to be around.
It's pretty exciting. I mean, even with the economy the way it is, I mean, there's a part of me that's like, you know what? That all had to happen. That all needed to you know, manifest in a physical form, you know, for all of us to, you know, wake up a little bit and be
Even if you're just a statistician and you have watched and observed economic history, we're right on time. Nobody's
mm-hmm.
surprised about this except those of us who, in America, who decided to get yourself entirely leveraged into debt, and that's the people who are going to hurt. But they're going to get through it just like everybody else. You know, times change, they move, cycles happen, and, you know, there's inhaling and there's exhaling in your body. Why would you expect it to be different on the planet and in economies and in nations? So, just take a deep breath.
Where do you see the Nemenha 5 years from now?
Nemenha are already beginning to emerge as... Well, I shouldn't probably say this, but I have heard rumor that our Constitution is being used as a model for other indigenous peoples around the world. I welcome that, and I'm honored. I hope in 5 years to see that to see us filled up with natural healers of good intention, healers with all kinds of modalities and materials. Because if we can, think about this, if we can fill up the Nemenha with medicine men and medicine women who are not affected by dosage change because of codex, then how is codex going to affect natural healing? It simply won't. It'll be irrelevant. It will only affect the medical profession. Well, it can go ahead and affect the medical profession. That's not going to hurt my feelings. You know, they are a profession. But for our avocation, our vocation and advocation, it will not affect us because our materials will be sacraments and our practice will be ceremony. And, you know, I see marvelous things. If we can fill the Nemenha with people of good intention, those people of good intention are going to be going out and doing bad? I don't think so. They're going to be going out and filling the world with love and with light. And that's what we need to see happen.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Well, your breath's a fresh air. It's good to know there are people like you out there who really care about, you know, healing and wanting to change and make things right.
Well, I am passionate about it, whether I'm a breath of fresh air or whether
I think that was me you're talking. No, I'm just kidding.
I know I'm the smartest man I know, but
a lot of people don't know that Iggy's actually my brother and you know, the actual mother and father. We both have the same mother and father, so I like to tease a lot. You often hear us teasing back and forth, so that's very good. That's wonderful. I've had the opportunity to learn a lot from, a lot of my learning has been done on the website, completing the initial modules of the medicine wheel. And that's a self-study course that you can take. And I've taken the online lessons. If I can do it, they're well-written and easy to follow and eye-opening as well. So I would strongly recommend anyone who's even curious about it. Like Kwathar said, those initial modules are available on the website.
Yeah, the other thing that we have decided, and we decided this a long time ago, is that we're not going to require people to repeat coursework that they've already taken. That's ego-based.
Mm.
No, so that's inviting a lot of people who already have incredible experience levels and levels of education to become part of the band, and that just made sense to me. So somebody who's already, taken coursework in anatomy, physiology, and nutrition, and homeopathy, and all that sort of thing, we don't require them to repeat, and that really opens the door for folks. What we want people to learn are the ceremonial aspects, and then to apply them to their own belief systems. Not to ours, but to theirs. And that makes it personal, but it also makes it bona fide, and it's unassailable. That's what's important.
Yeah, that was what was appealing to me with the Nemenha. You know, just that it was about my belief core system, you know, about what I, that you were giving me my freedom to express myself to, you know, to the universe. And that was probably why, you know, I became adopted, spiritually adopted. That was probably one of the biggest reasons.
Well, it was tough for me personally. I've got the biggest ego, I think, on this continent. But setting that aside, I don't see how I'm any more qualified to tell you what is sacred than you are to tell me. It's none of my business. What I can do organizationally is say, okay, this band has decided to accept, you know, Hoop Watcher's bundle ceremony and his practices as part of our bona fide ceremony. There is no judge in the country who's going to be able to say, nah, no, you can't, because they can't.
They're not
able
they
can't have an opinion about what ceremony is. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Yeah, that is. It's right.
If somebody tells me, you know, my ceremony is this, I sit down in my living room and I, you know, I light up my bong and I put my marijuana in there and I come over and I let you have some and we talk about stuff.
Is that why you had to rewrite yours, Iggy?
Yeah. we're not going to prove that, obviously. You know, that's not where we're coming from. This is healing. You have to be able to say
right.
You first do no harm, and that natural healing is part of your spiritual orientation. And that, you know, we pretty much demand that people be in agreement there. Don't break out your bongs and stuff like that. You know, we're just not going there.
Right.
So I bring that up because somebody actually tried.
Oh, really?
Oh, it was funny. It was just cracked me up. No, Your Honor, we don't know anything about that. Blam! You know, he's in jail.
Okay.
I believe we have a caller here online. Cloud Feather.
Okay.
I'd like to, let's see if I can get patch him in.
Okay.
I think caller is 354-1741. See if I can get him in there.
Shopping at the grocery store, and we just want to check in on you, but I'll let you go now.
Oh, hello. Are you there, caller? Can you hear us?
Hello.
Yeah, honey. It's me.
Hey,
bro.
How you doing? You're on air with Claude Piler. Anything you
Hi,
want
Claude
to add?
Piler.
Hey. You're shopping at the grocery store, huh? Just checking in.
Yes. My daughter wanted to see what was going on, and I got the best part.
Good.
So I enjoyed the story about the bong. That was pretty funny.
I had to throw that in there because, you know, you don't know who's listening. You just want to be understood.
But no, I am really on the right path myself by getting involved with checking out the information you had through John McMullen. And, you know, it's just been a really interesting journey, and I've been really grateful that I've run into this whole way of thinking and, you know, opening the door to a new belief system that's customized to what I really feel, and I can adjust to that. So that feels right for me. So.
Well, we're honored. We're honored. We have to admit we've been a little slow on the uptake this last year because we have really been working on this web presence, and now we're going to be able to pay more attention to our lodges and get us a little better organized in preparation for great things to come.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Well, I'll let you go so I can get back to my little shopping trip here, but my daughter says hi to Nathaniel, your son, and I hope you have a good one.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, Susie.
All right, we have about 1 minute left.
Was that Susie?
That was Susie.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't you know what? She sounds so different on the telephone. She does in person. I was her trying to put a face to whoever that was because we missed it. It was a little garbled at the front, but, oh, that's cool.
How does she know my son?
Yeah, wait a minute. How am I supposed to tell him who said hi?
Our daughter.
Raquel. Hey, by the way, while I got you before you go, we have a brand new lodge in Ohio up there at Bowling Green that's all youth. So you guys we're going to have to figure out how to get you guys connected up there. They're all young people.
Is there anything coming up here soon in the next 6 months to a year that you want to promote before we off the air here?
Well, we have our regular, our regional councils. We're going to try and do four of them this year in the four regions. But also the Great Council will be up in your neck of the woods. It'll be up in Bowling Green in the last weekend of August.
Okay.
I will definitely be there.
That's kind of a long way off. We're not really making plans yet, but Joanne Newsom is going to do it and up in their lodge there at Bowling Green, and we're really looking forward to it.
Woohoo! I don't have to drive so far.
Yeah, it's kind of a long way. And it's, yeah, so watch
hopefully
for changes.
We'll have any hurricanes.
Oh, my goodness, that was quite the deal last year. But the website is a whole lot easier to navigate. It has so much good information. It's all downloadable. So, I just like people to get in there and take a look at it and give us a try.
Absolutely.
Sure.
That's very good. Well,
anything else you
want to
add before we ship off into our world?
Well, I just
like
I just really, really would like to give thanks for our young people and give thanks for our elderly. Without those people, it wouldn't seem like any of it is worth it. And you guys, do good to each other, do good to all people, and walk sacred, talk sacred. And I want to thank you for letting me say these few things.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much for being part of With Insights Radio. And we hope to have you on again sometime.
Oh, it'd be fun. I didn't know you did this stuff.
Yeah.
Now I do. Cool.
Excellent.
Call on many times.
Okay.
All right, my friend.
All right. Be good.
Take care. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Rosa, that concludes our show for tonight. Any
great
closing thoughts? Well, the show is off the air, but we're still streaming, so it'll be heard on recording.
I just want to let people know that next week we have Robert Sunhawk, who will be talking about energy and healing work with fibromyalgia, herbal formulas, Native American philosophy, and hands-on healing energy, as well as Allison Fritz will be talking about polarity therapy and raindrop therapy. And then on January 26th, we have Corey Brackett of Sweet Remedy TV, or sweetremedy.tv, as she will talk about the how to eat healthy and watch out for the secrets, preservatives that are in your food. So I just wanted to remind listeners that we're on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And your hosts are Iggy Garcia and Rosa Bell.
And I will be calling from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Rosa will be running the switchboard.
Uh-oh.
Well, from withinsightsradio.com, I'm Iggy and Rosa.
And
we hope you enjoyed our show with Claude Pyler. Again, this is withinsightsradio.com, a withinsights.com production. And we hope to see you soon. Listen to our pre-recorded messages in our other shows and give us a call. Send us an email if you want to be on our show. We'd be glad to have you on. We take the famous and we take the people who are moving on up the ladder in holistic healing and different types of metaphysical and paranormal ventures, if I call them. Any closing thoughts, Rosa, for you?
I just want to wish everybody a great week, and I send my blessings filled with infinite love and gratitude. Take care.
Peace begins with me. Have a nice week.